I feel like working with you, Jana, for so long, like it just, there's something to in that as well as the, like the longevity, because you don't, I mean, obviously we clicked kind of straight away and we're like, oh my gosh, yes, you know, we're on the same page sort of thing. And you really taught me how to become me my way versus you going, you have to do it this way and you won't succeed if you can't do it this way. And I think my favorite quote of all time about you is like, your way is my way.
This is why we have someone like Jana, because it's not even about just trust. It's interwoven. It's like there's something about your aura, your energy, everything about your relationship is interwoven into your cells, and you're flying on this plane that's, it's almost like a magical carpet, but it's grounded, but it's up there at the same time. And it's really hard to articulate until you're there, you know?
Hello, everybody. If you're joining us, we're on the Dreamspo show. This is my podcast. This is all about big dreams and your inspo. And this series that I'm doing is some interviews, or basically chats, with people that I see, especially in my field, my clients, my colleagues in my field, that are manifesting big dreams and in the manifestation of big dreams. And we're going to go into all the cracks and the crevices. And you can access it on my podcast, The Dreamspo Show. So subscribe to it. If you go to janakingsford.com/podcast, you can subscribe to all of the emails so you know what's happening and when and where. Hi, Jana.
Well, hello.
Welcome to The Dreamspo Show, everybody. This is just going to be a discombobulation of us all just chatting. That's what it's going to be. So my name is Jana Kingsford. This is Paula the Ivy.
Hi.
Come walking over. And we have Shona Lee. These guys, we're just all like friends. So context for anybody that doesn't know us, which I feel like most people will, but if you don't, Paula started working with me in 2017.
Yeah.
And she came to me and she's like, you're traveling around Australia. You're achieving this big dream that I want to do. Can you help me too? I want to do that too. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And then she did it. 1, 2, skip a few. 2019, she did a lap of Australia. So that was amazing. So we came on to 4 years, and then somewhere along the line, Shona came in to work with me, and they were in the dream team together before it was the Figure Seven. And we just all like vibe. I feel like we're just like born of the same cloth or some sort of thing. Like we're so similar in so many ways. And I just feel like our relationship is really inspiring to a lot of the internet. It's not like you have that with all past clients, but there's just something to be said with having like a really beautiful relationship with past clients and letting it evolve into something else after, like when you come to the 4 years, 4 years later. And then Paula literally just bought Logology, my course, and she was doing it before she came here. It's just like, it makes me feel so happy that there's just this beautiful way of being. And it just, I love that we break the mold of how it's done. So yeah. There you go. That's context.
Absolutely. I think that's a really beautiful conversation for us. I think this is a really cool topic of conversation. Absolutely. Because I mean, I feel like I've worked with quite a few mentors, but there's only a handful that, you know, you sort of develop such a deep relationship with. And I feel like working with you, Jana, for so long, like it just, there's something to in that as well as the, like the longevity, because you don't, I mean, obviously we clicked kind of straight away and we're like, oh my gosh, yes, you know, we're on the same page sort of thing. And you really taught me how to become me my way versus you going, you have to do it this way and you won't succeed if you can't do it this way. And I think my favorite quote of all time about you is like, your way is my way, because yes, that's what you help us do. And I think that that's so important. And I feel like the mentors that I've worked with that have helped me to do that, they're the ones that I'm like,
you're forever.
You're forever. And I couldn't coach with somebody long term if I kept having to do it their way.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really beautiful thing about what I've learned about mentoring and about coaching,
yeah,
and that I help my clients with, is like from the beginning, I was like, oh, it's about helping them do it their way, not like this is what worked for me, so you must do it this way, otherwise you're going to fail. And yeah, because I'd had bad experiences. Like, I can't do it their way, so I'm a failure.
And they keep on trying to get you to do it that way.
And I can't do it.
I've had this same experience just recently on Instagram. This Instagram coach, he's like, well, you have to start a new Instagram because yours is dead. I'm like, but I don't want to. He's like, well, it's not going to work. Don't even bother booking your second session that I paid for that was $4,000 if you don't do it. Okay. Wow. Okay. Oh. I'm totally fine with it. I totally manifested that situation of being like, oh, okay, this is how most people do the mentoring thing. Yeah.
That's interesting. This is
the thing. Sometimes you need the reminder, hey, just to go, oh, yeah, this is why I do what I do.
The way that I do it. Yeah.
100%. The way that I do it. Yeah.
I love it. Two things I'm thinking of right now is I've been thinking about it lately. I work with my mentor, Melanie, and I feel like there's this beautiful relationship that we have established over so much time. She feels safe with me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've really been thinking about this lately of she feels safe with me. So she feels free to say things and however they come out and know that I'm going to translate them in a way that works for me. And I'm going to butt back if I'm like, yeah, but like, I don't want to do that. She's going to work with it, that too. So I can butt back but she feels safe with me. So she can say it how she wants to say it. And she's not beating around the bush. And I think we underestimate the power of clientship. And I think that was a powerful thing with you guys is I feel and I felt so safe with you to be able to tell you what I was thinking of. Like, I didn't have to beat around the bush and trying to like pussyfoot around. I could just be like, and you would kind of invite me into like,
oh, I'd be like, Jana, kick my ass.
Yeah.
Like, you would. And then I'd be like, I want to punch you in the face right now.
You're like, take it out.
Yeah.
But also.
But it made me love you so much more because I'm like, she's telling me what, like, she's telling me it straight. Like,
yeah. And this is the thing. Like,
sorry, and going, go. Oh, you're doing so well. Keep going. She's like, no, stop it.
This is what Jana says, like hyper speed. And that's what happens is because it's just like bang, bang, bang. We work through this and it's the trust. You have this relationship. Your ego doesn't get in the way. It's just like you don't get, you know, sometimes you get a little bit of a sting like, oh, I just got told off here. But it's like, no, this is why we've got Jana. Like we want to be told off. And in the end, like, once you've had that long-term relationship, it's almost like this is what you expect. This is the catharsis. This is blah, blah, blah. And, you know, this is why we have someone like Jana, because it's not even about just trust. It's interwoven. It's like there's something about your aura, your energy, everything about your relationship is interwoven into your cells. And you're flying on this plane it's almost like a magical carpet, but it's grounded, but it's up there at the same time. And it's really hard to articulate until you're there, you know?
Until you're in it. I love that. Oh my God. Do you feel that for you as well? Like with your clients, like the level of safety that you get with your, like when your client makes you feel safe, because it's all about like the client, the mentor making you feel safe. But I'm like really starting to think lately, like the difference that my clients, I feel safe with them. They allow me to say like, okay, tell me how it is. Or even just like, we can sort of like go back and forth and I know what they're thinking because they're telling me what they're thinking. And those ones that you feel safe with, you can go so fast, so hard, so quick. Mm. Do you find that for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like that's why it's so important. And I feel that you modeled this so well, is like making people feel safe when they come into the space to begin with and be like, this is exactly what this space is for. This is how things are going to, like, you were really clear about how things are in this space, why you've created it and what your role is going to be there.
Yeah.
And it allows you to really fall into that space and use it. And I feel like there's also something to be said about the way, funny, we're just talking about Launchology, but the way that you share your work and launch your work and sell your work and the people that come into your work, that even though I would always have a moment when somebody new would come into the mastermind, I would always be like, oh, I feel like I can't like let all of Paula out for a moment until this person feels like comfortable with me. Like I have that. But then when I do, I know that they can be trusted and I can feel safe with them because they've come ultimately through you. And
yeah,
I think that's a big thing, is like you lead with the safety and go, this is a safe space.
Yeah.
And also because I know that you don't just let anybody into your mastermind. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I've got a sale. Somebody's coming in. All the money. Yeah. Like, it's like, are you a right fit for this space? And you really make sure that the person coming in is going to be, they're in the right space for them.
Yeah.
As well as for you and for everybody else that's there. So I feel like setting up a safe space allows people to open up and feel safe, which then when they let themselves kind of go in that space, mm-hmm. I think that's when you can go, all right, she's ready. I can kick her ass. I know that like these words might sting, but she's going to be taking them in and going, yeah, okay, I can see that. Because that is where transformation lives, is mm-hmm. in those bits that you don't want to look at because you're like, no, that stings, that hurts. I'm just going to like pretty that up a little bit so I don't have to dig too deep into there.
Yeah.
But like that's your genius zone. And I think a great mentor or coach, like that's their genius zone of like seeing that and being like, oh, but this bit over here, the bit that you're not willing to look at right now, you're not wanting to look at.
Yeah.
Like, let's go in there. And it's like, that's where it is.
I love that. And I think as well, like there's this beautiful part where there's this softness and nourishing and nurturing that comes in that as well. It's not all just ass kicking and whip cracking.
Yeah. Like,
there's some beautiful coming. I've got you. Yeah. I'm hugging the shit out of you right now. And that's the balance that's really gets me. It's just like finding someone that has that part as well, because we're all human. We all, you know, we all need that humanness of closeness.
Mm-hmm.
And that part is like, she's nailed it. Totally nailed it.
I love that so much. I feel like that's where the thing with doing this work is so many people, I feel like they do come into spaces to not change, even though they technically say they want to change.
Yeah.
And so they'll come into a space or mentorship and they're like, I want to have these massive results, but I just want to stay exactly the same. I want to see my projections as per usual, like project normally. I'm going to judge normally. I'm going to be like, yeah, well, she's really up and down and all over the place, and just continue to judge and be like, I'm higher than mighty and I'm eaten a bit, versus realizing like that judgment holds so much coding, because we can't even judge in somebody else what we're feeling. I was saying this the other day in my Instagram. I said, your projections have the power to be proven right. Like, yeah. I find I'm such a powerful person, and I feel like you guys are the same. Whatever you project something onto, so if you're like, he's being lazy or she's doing this, whatever like we're projecting out, or she's toxic or whatever else. And I was saying that yesterday, like toxic feels like a toxic word to even say now. Like,
yeah,
she's toxic. I'm like, you're pointing a finger. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So it's like in that projection, you have the power to like receive that back. And I've really felt that like every time you think about like even with your partners, you're like, oh my God, you're being so lazy. You're so lazy right now. And then they just be lazier.
That's not pointing the finger. There's one at them and then there's three pointing back at you.
And that's why it's so annoying, because then if I like really look at it, I'm like, oh, I'm so annoyed at myself because I'm not doing enough right now. Like I'm not. So I'm like looking, I'm pointing because like I'm feeling that, which is, I feel like those masterminds and mentoring is where we come to clean that up. But we don't always want to clean that up in a way. Like it's confronting to think we've got those situations, like we're not willing to budge on those things.
This is the thing. And you learn a lot how to move through cringing at yourself.
Oh.
You know, it's like, but
there's plenty of that, hey. I think there's so many. It sounds so good when somebody's like, yeah, come over here and we'll work on this together. And you're like, yeah, I'm coming. And then you go over and then you're like, what, I have to change?
Yeah.
Can't I just like do that, see, but not change, because that's hard. Mm-hmm. Just the same, but like what you have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But me the same. But it's me same.
Dream different.
But it doesn't work like that, because obviously this here is what got you to here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which
is great and awesome and go you. But like I think that's one of the greatest embodiments that I've done over these past few years, is like the ability to embrace change.
Yeah.
Because I was not somebody who could change quite easily before. Like I was just like, have things the same and it be the same and I feel safe and I feel comfortable. But I was wishing things were different. I'm like, things are great, but like also I want it to be like this.
Yeah.
So I think that's the scariest thing, is like things are pretty good, but I'm wanting this like here, which like would be greater, but I don't want to let go of this in case I don't get this anymore while I'm going after that. I think that's one of the hardest things, is like people grip so tightly to what's good that they don't want to let go to make it like to go to better or to greater or to whatever it is. One of my favorite quotes of all time, I always come back to, that Julie Tenner said, is like, just because you want more doesn't mean what you have now is shit.
Mm. Yes, exactly.
And I'm like, that's the thing. Like, it doesn't, like, wanting more and dreaming bigger doesn't mean that what you have now is complete horseshit. And you're like, oh, I need to
check it out.
Okay, let's start again.
It's not enough. I want more.
Exactly. It's like I'm loving this right now. This is awesome.
More of this.
More
please.
Of this, please. But you can't be so tight with that. As soon as you grip that, you're like strangling it. You got to be really loosey-goosey with it and be like, yeah, let's do more. Let's do more.
There's so much fear around letting go. There's a lot of fear of letting go identity, past identities, especially the ones that got us to where we are now. Mm. But it's like, if we let go, they don't, like, can still love them and give it gratitude and have, you know, a beautiful relationship of what you're letting go. And it's not actually disappearing and it's just like, oh my God, I'm starting again. I'm a newborn baby with no clothes on. But it's like, you know, it's deep-seated, and I do the same. Like, we all do the same. It's just like, oh, it's really hard to let go of something, but when you do, holy shit, like, wow.
Oh my God.
Have them in your pocket.
Oh my God. Let's do a game. Let's play a game of identity releases that we released. You guys could do, like, while you're working with me, or like now, like recent ones. Maybe you could do your most recent. I'm going to do my most recent that you guys know.
Do it.
So I went through this whole, like, 3 months just, like, next level sabotage after hitting the 7 figures in 8 months. I'm not gonna sabotage that hard this time. I'm actually great. I'm being fine. I got this in the back. I'm good. I know what to do. And then it just went boom, and I went, like, the worst in my whole 8 years. I've never been so, like, sad about certain things happening, or so surprised and, like, what in the world, and almost like lost faith in humanity for a second there, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But then it was like this beautiful transformation that you basically can only get when you're at, like, the bit. Mm. And then there was just one day, like, I was coming to the other end of it, and there was just one day I went to the internet, and I, as I usually do, I post my little genie, and the whole time I was like, what's the identity release? I'm like, there is nothing to release. I don't feel like there's an identity. I can't figure it out. Usually I'll know, underdog. Okay, got it. This. I'll, like, know exactly what it is. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I'm like, Jana, you need to just stop worrying about what identity it is.
Yeah.
And, like, let it come to you. And I was like, then it didn't come to me. And I was like, oh, God. Maybe all my work that I've always done on sabotage is not even true. And you don't, like...
Now I'm just fraud.
I just completely suck, and there's no such thing as going through identities in the ascension, whatever, and it's just all BS. Anyway, as you do when you're in the depths, and you just, like, got that outside voice that is just really trying to fuck it up.
It's all bullshit.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, I went to like, obviously, I was just too blinded to see, and I went to post, and I went to do the genie emoji, and I was like, what?
Oh, wow.
Immediately I had a physical, visceral reaction.
Wow.
To writing the genie. I was like, what? And then straight away in my head, it was like, you're just over here letting people rub your lamp and making their big dreams come true, and then they putting you back in the bottle. I'm like, why didn't I? That's 3 years of having the big dreams genie. Like, why did I think of that? But it was perfect.
Wow.
And then I just, and that moment, my body told me, because my mind was not allowing me to see. My body just showed me, you're not that anymore. You're not the big dreams genie. And you needed that when you couldn't find power in yourself. And then I was like, well, what am I? And I'm like, I don't know either. And I just went live, and I was like, I'm no longer the big dreams genie. And everyone's like spinning out, like, well, what do we call you? And I'm like,
Jana.
I am Jana. You could start there. We can start there. So that was my identity release. And then everything is so shifted from there. It was like one of the ones I wasn't prepared to do, because I know people affectionately know me.
Yeah.
And so there's that fear as well as letting that go. But I think that my body, energy, universe knew that I wouldn't let that go.
Yeah.
Unless it just went as I went to write it and just physically wouldn't let me post. So yeah.
It's like, we're shutting this down.
Yeah, we're shutting this down.
You're cut off. You shut down. You're
locked out. We're showing her what she can't see. So that was mine.
I love that. I think the biggest one for me was not the identity shift, was changing the meaning of it. So this one actually lasted me a while, and it was one that I remember it was either the first or the second retreat that we did in Noosa with you,
mm-hmm.
pre-lap. And then when I was doing the big lap of Australia, like that is when it really settled into my cells. And this is one that I'm like, I love this identity now, but before it used to make me feel like really restricted and limited, because in Latin, my name actually means small. And so there was always this like, I'm just a small little Paula.
And you don't need a baby.
I'm just a little Paula. I'm a speck in like the whole universe and the time. Like I'm like, but I'm just a little tiny human. Like, what can I possibly do? Yeah. And so for me, that was a really big one. At first, I was like, I want to let go of this. What's the opposite of small? It's big. I want to be big Paula. I want to be big Paula. Like, and I was like, that's not it though. And like that didn't, like, I kept coming up against this, like, nah.
Yeah. Nah.
And I'm like, well, I'm just supposed to be small my whole life.
Yeah.
But then I shifted it because I'm like, I'm small, but I'm also Ivy. Like, Ivy is an evergreen. It's a climbing vine. She has these small, beautiful leaves, but she just multiplies. She doesn't have to get bigger. She multiplies.
She's all through my garden right now, just going to say.
She just takes over the whole damn wall through her multiplication. Like, and that to me,
effortlessly,
yeah. Because she just started out as one little ivy leaf. And then all of a sudden she's like millions of ivy leaves. And for me, that's not me having to like physically multiply myself. It's like every time that I share myself, my ivy leaf, it's like more pop up around there. So I see that with the ripple effect in the work that I do. So I'm like, I just add my small part, but then boom, 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 boom. You see the internet light up with all these incredible photos of women taking photos of themselves and just loving the shit out of themselves and like owning it. I'm like, there's my ivy leaves. Like they're everywhere. Like,
that's so beautiful.
That, like, it's not that they're like, oh, I want to be Paula Ivy. It's just like, they've experienced me and they're going, oh, I can bring that out in myself, which, you know, circle back to what I learned so great from you was like how to teach people to be themselves, how to teach people to bring their inner light out from themselves and be able to express that.
Yes.
And that is why I'm so obsessed with the work that I do, because I'm like, I don't have to do anything but be myself and show other people that they can be themselves too. Absolutely. And give them tools in which they can express that. Mm-hmm. And it's so simple, because before I was like, I need to be bigger. I need to have like lots of different ways that people can like do stuff. And I have to be genius at this and that. And blah, 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 blah. But it's like, no, you just have to be the Ivy League.
Let them
and
do all the legwork for you.
All this graceful greatness. Yeah.
Love it.
I love that. That's so cool. I remember Paula and I, when we first started our podcast, we did an episode on you're just a photographer, you're just a stylist. And that was my identity that I held on to for a very long time, that I was just a stylist, even though I was styling lifestyles as well as, you know, making things physically beautiful. But I think that was the first year of working with Jana was a beautiful, oh my God, it was a beautiful exploration into depths of my actual identity. And it was just like real powerful, sad, frustrating all at once. But it was the greatness that came out of that was just like, wow, this truly is my identity. And then learning that little sneaky things pop in, and I'll tell you my latest identity shitty time. But it's like, I want to tell you, because like, even though I work with this so in depth, like it's, I'm not immune to it. And I had, you know, the sickness that everyone's had got, and I had it,
the thing, the universal sickness,
that thing, the long, but I had it like twice, and I had it long term. So I got the, you know, anyway, it snuck in and I held on to it because I had no energy. I had enough energy to do my work on the backlight. I was giving my all to my clients. We're on the podcast, we're doing, and I was mumming and going through lots of these transitions with my kids turning into adults and things like that. So it was full on, but I knew I was running at 20% energy and I clung on to, oh, I'm a long hauler. Like I'm a, you know, and I grabbed onto it. And it was just like, how long are you going to hold on to that for? Like, get yourself up, get yourself moving, get yourself better, do all the things. I'm working with Liz Sargent right now and it's like better already. Get onto it, like hormones and everything. Like things like I'm just Shona's back, you know? And it's just like
drop
that identity. Like drop it. Stop it. Stop. Like, and it was really, I had to really slap myself in the face with it. And it was like, honestly, dropping that was just like, it mind is a bloody amazing thing. And it was just like, oh my God, I feel I'm back at 98% like energy.
Yeah.
I'm back, you know, I feel like a 38-year-old again and not a 47-year-old. Like I feel, you know, my head's clear, everything, but I held on to something that was really like, you got to watch it, you know?
You do. It's like you kind of need this like warning thing that goes off in your head. It's like,
put the identity down.
Yes. I picked it up again. Oh, shit.
I love that it actually showed up in long haul
thing.
Code word. I love that it actually, it's like the universe was like, can you see this? It's probably good for you to put the two and two together. I just love how it talks in like life signs. And yeah. I think so much is like our mind will not let us see it. And then when it happens in some sort of thing where that, it's like you really start to pay attention to something that you wouldn't have paid attention to before. How good are identity shifts?
Like, I love them.
Oh God. I'm just like thinking how much each one of these ones impacted all of us.
Yeah.
And I feel like with you guys are such like badasses with like really like doing the real work. And when you were talking, I was like, this is the real work.
Mm.
Like it's that ability to be vulnerably like ready to shed an identity. And because we can be so caught up in like, this is why I'm successful because I am the long hauler, or this is why I'm successful because I am the big dreams genie.
This is why I can't be successful because I'm blah, 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 blah.
Yes. And it's just like, I can't drop that because if I drop that, then this is not how it works for me. And I think this is where we get like that, what do you call it? Like, it's like a gray area with being yourself. I think this is like, this is me being myself. I'm a long hauler. I'm a this or I'm a that. This is who I am. I think that being yourself is actually such a malleable thing, and it constantly is growing and changing and moving. And that's the thing. It's like, catch me if you can. It's like, catch me if you can. And I think we get stuck into like, be yourself, not be who you always were. Be yourself. Like, what is my next iteration of me in this new thing? And then that can be really like the most people that it's like, effects is the people around us or the people that know us to be something. And I think if we're not constantly actually allowing ourselves to put those identity shifts forward and like share those, people get so stuck in seeing us in a certain way, and they're not. And then I think the people closest to us, our clients, our customers, our like, and even our closest network, those are the reasons we don't keep on growing at the speed of light.
Mm.
Because we're like, what, like even the big dreams genie, I was like, oh my God, what, I straight away I was like, oh yeah, cool, I'll just let it go, cool, it's fine. But the first thing that I thought of, like, what about the people that call me the big dreams genie and they affectionately call me that, and I'm like, why am I thinking this? Like, what has that got to do with anything? This is like, my first thought should not be like, oh, what about the people that think that? And like, it should be like, this is my own liberation. Go for it. And I think the more that we're doing that, that's the faster that we grow. And the more people get used to like, it's just another day in life of following Jana. It's just like, she's changed again.
I think that's why people get so stuck on who am I?
Yes.
Because they're like trying to look at like, who do people refer to me as? Who have I always been? What do people call me? Like, what makes sense to people that I say who I am,
mm-hmm.
versus like just sharing who you are today.
Today.
You know what? Do you know what's funny? I'm actually in the middle of an identity shift at the moment. And like you, like, I don't know what the hell it is,
mm-hmm.
but I have big, big, oh God, I was about to say I have big, big snake energy.
That's a pub. You want to see my snake? You want to see my snake?
No,
PTA.
I really don't. Oh yeah, side story. Jana and I met up on our laps in 2009. We crossed paths at a really small town in Northern Territory called Pine Creek, and there was old mate sitting at the pub, and he asked us if we wanted to hold his snakes, and we're like,
we were looking for a husband.
And he's like, those snakes in the cage over there, they're mine. And I was like, oh, the actual snake.
You actually said it like that too. I was like, oh, snakes.
Gotcha.
Maybe lead with that next time.
Like, start there.
But anyway, I have some big snake energy at the moment. But like actual snakes.
Yeah, gotcha.
Not like, yeah, but like physical, like real snakes slithering on the ground.
So when you're... I love how specific you had to just be then. I'm like, okay, we get the snakes.
We understand snakes, bullets.
Okay. Real snakes.
We've moved on. So like in the past 6 months, I mean, I traveled around Australia for a whole year and saw 3 within a year traveling Australia. Yeah. Pre then, I think I'd only seen like 2 snakes in the wild in like 30 something years, right? Yeah. In the past 6 months, I've come across 3 poisonous snakes in just random places. One was in the backyard of a house, and that was a whip snake. One was walking to the park with my kids down a busy street in the town that we've just left. Like, I'd never seen snakes. I knew that like we were in a part of the part of the world that has brown snakes, but like never had seen one, like, you know, where people were. Mm. And then the third one was like just the other day when we're on Fraser Island. And like, it was the biggest brown snake I've ever seen in my whole entire life. Like it was like this.
Oh my goodness.
It was huge.
That's huge.
And like we were walking down to the champagne pools and we had to park up there's like a main entrance to get there. But then we had to park like up the top in kind of like the extra car park because there was just so many people there. And you have to walk through the bush to get down there. And so we start walking and I've just stopped everywhere and I'm like, there's a snake. And there was people coming up the other way. And I said, just stop, guys. There's a really big brown snake. And they were like, oh my God, it's huge. And like just checking it out. So it started to go back, like it was on its way into the bush across the path, right? And then as soon as I went, it looked at me and I was like, it's coming. And then Brendan was like, it's cool.
Because you're supposed to stay still, but it's impossible. You are.
Like, please. And I was like, bracing myself, but also wanting to run. And Brendan said, it's cool. It's going into the bush. And then it like looked at me and then it like went away into the bush. When we saw the whip snake in the backyard, like the snake, I was the one who found it. It was crossing my path. And when I screamed, because I was like, wasn't expecting it at all, it looked right at me and started to come towards me.
Yeah.
And then, okay, I know this is a long ass story, but trust me, it's like,
keep going.
Anyway,
but right there,
we're all watching this snake, waiting for it to go into the bush because this house was like near the bush. And anyway, it ended up going underneath the deck. And so the person whose house it was like, okay, the deck leads to the bush. It's probably going to follow the light and go out to the bush. It's fine. So we all were like on edge for about 5 minutes because it was a whip snake. They're kind of poisonous. We're kind of just standing there, just like tiptoeing around, waiting to see if the snake would go out. We're like, okay, we haven't seen it. It's probably gone. It's fine. We're just about to go start getting back into what we were doing. And like, it's literally like, the lady was like, okay, there's no holes in the deck for it to come back this way. It's got to go out that way. Anyway, literally, just as I was moving, they're like, I'm like, I'm calm. I'm cool. All right, let's go. The snake is gone. The tiniest little crack right next to my foot, it comes shooting. And I jump back and it comes at me again. I'm like, what? And then then it like went off.
Oh, my gosh.
The snake that I saw with my kids on the way to the park was a baby brown snake, thank goodness. But like, they're usually a bit more aggressive because they're like curious. But like, that came out and it like ran across exactly where I was about to step. Like, I almost stepped on it.
On purpose. Like, it ran out in front of you on purpose. Yeah, like, it looks like
the snakes are coming for me, guys.
Why are they doing this?
So just be careful today, Charlie. We might have a snake encounter. But like, this is the thing. And over the past few days, since we've been sort of at Fraser Island, like the past like 5 days, right? I have had an animal come and like be in my face.
Be all up in my business.
And every time I go look up the spiritual meaning of these animals, it's all about rebirth, transformation, all of this stuff, right? I had a sticking set come down on the windscreen, like my side, look me in the eyes. It's like, what is this sticking thing doing? I'm not going to bore you with all the other animals, but like every time, it's been a lot. I'm really attracting the wildlife, but this is like what you say, like the
universe attracting the wildlife. I like that line. I actually feel like that's a universal lesson.
It is, because number one, my word for this year is wild. So why am I shocked? And number two, like the universe speaks to me through animals, and you know this working with me, like especially traveling Australia, there's always animals that come and visit me right when I'm going through a transformation, right when I ask the big questions, because at the moment I feel like I'm in this, I feel like I'm in the void creatively. I feel like I'm in this part where I've had success and I've done the thing, but like there's this shift in identity when you go through the sabotage stage and it hasn't quite landed yet. But like all the reminders are like, keep going. Like this is a big one.
Just keep going.
Literally a big brown snake. It's a big one, but just keep going.
Oh, I love this. I feel like we really underestimate, like you don't always get the identity. Like we're like, oh, I got to release this identity. Well, you're lucky you know which one it is.
Yeah.
Because it's like not easy when you there's one, but you don't know what it's going to be, like what it is. Like that was my hardest one, right?
Mm.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because over time we collect everything. I mean, and most of the time we think about that they're working for us, some of the things that we hold on to, and they're not easily identifiable, but there's also that feeling of I can't let it go, like we're talking about earlier before, but it's all working. The identity shift is working for you and you've got to go with it. Like drop your shoulders, go with it. Let the wild snakes come at you. Like, you know, it's going to happen.
They can quit it with the poisonous ones though. Like send me some tree snakes or something.
It got your attention though.
It did.
I feel like it always works with whatever will get your attention. And it's just like, I'll give you that. And then you're going to listen. And then you're going to go on a discovery. And I'm not going to give you every single piece of the information you want. And we're all just like, tell me what it is now. And you're like, well, you got to go on a little journey. It's like, I don't want to go on the journey. I want to know now. And I want to shift through. And I want my breakthrough now. And I've had enough of this, like not being at the breakthrough bit. But instead, when you look back on your life, like some of the most extraordinary times of when you're like, oh, like you're getting those life signs. Yeah. And you're like going through that journey and you're just like, please show me what it is that I'm shifting through and the identity that I've got to shift through and the beliefs that I'm letting go. Like, it's like it hurts so good, but you don't even want to admit it. Mm-hmm. I have actually had this new thing that I've been saying. I'm sure I say it to everyone, but recently, like, okay, so story. So hubby, he goes on this travel, like he's gone on to the other side of Australia right now. It's technically on the Nullarbor today and back, coming back. And they've been traveling to the other side of Australia. And so he was stressing before he went. And he's like, oh, I've got so much to do. I've got to like, I just could see him. He was like peeking out because he's going to the other side of Australia with our 10-year-old son who like, he loves his game. So he's like, how is he going to do? Like for 10 days driving endlessly and camping on this rooftop tent. P.S. by the way, spoiler alert, he loves it. But he's stressing before he goes and he's just like, oh, there's flooded roads and there's this and that. And he's just like, oh, it's just like, because you know, like when someone's stressed, I'm like, don't pretend like you don't love it.
Yeah.
Like what you can do with your husband, like you can say that. But like, obviously I wouldn't say that to clients that didn't invite me to give them such a like a, don't pretend like you don't love it. But because I'm not coaching him, he's my husband. I'm like, don't pretend like you don't love it. You love this shit. You live for this shit. If you don't do it for 3 months, you just have like a void. Mm. And he's like, thanks for that pep talk. I really needed that. Thank you. And I was like, it wasn't a pep talk, but okay.
But it's so true.
It's true, right?
It's so true. You do. Yep. You love it. You do. You love it. And when you come out the other side, and I say this to my daughter quite a lot, is because she's very much like, if she can't execute something perfectly the first time, she's like, I quit. Like, I'm terrible. I'll never be able to do this. Like, throw me out in the trash. Like, she's like that energy. She's like, I'm not like, it's rubbish. Like, dead to me. Can't do it. And I said to her, like, this is the thing. Like, it's through the act of trying and failing. And it's like, every time that you feel that energy of like sweating to accomplish, I didn't say it exactly like this to her, but like when you sweat to accomplish something, when you have that blood, sweat and tears kind of energy into something, when something feels so itchy and kind of like, oh, like do it already. And like you keep going, how much more satisfying is it when you get there? How much more satisfying is a glass of water after you've just like run up a hot beach, or like you've just done a massive workout, or like you've done a huge hike and you have that drink of water and you're like, oh my God, water is the best.
So much more gratitude.
But then at any other time you have a sip of water and you're like, yeah, it's water. Like,
yeah.
It changes your experience. And so it's like when you were saying, oh, I just want to have my transformation already. It's like, I just want to sit on the couch and like have my transformation and like watch some Netflix and then it's happened and yay, I'm a new person again. Like, no.
It actually forces you to move. And that's what I love about it, because it's like, it is that hurts so good. And you move so far. The exploration of it, now that I know, is my favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I will sit sometimes and I will curl in a ball and I will read a book or have a cup of tea and just like, I'm so frustrated with myself. It's like, no, I'm allowed this. I'm allowed to curl up and I'm allowed to do this. You know what I mean? And I'm allowed to do this, but I can't sit there for very long. And it's just like, okay, nothing's changing actually. So let's move. And
I think it's when you identify with that. Like, I can't do anything because I'm in this phase in life. I have to curl up because I have no energy. Right. I have to like sit here and wait for like the downloads to come because they're not coming to me right now. I have to do it like this because right now, you know, the thing is like you identify with that.
That's it. Like
a long hauler, you identified with it. I can't do anything because I'm too tired. I'm sick. I'm recovering. I'm all of these things.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is where, like when we talk about artistry and creativity, and I always say creativity is like a snowball. Like you got to start off by trying to do something creative before you become like this creative force. And so many people are like, I'm not creative. You're so creative. How do you get creative? I'm like, I create stuff. Mm. And then that creates more stuff. And then that creates more stuff. And then that creates more stuff because my snowball is going down the hill now. And I know that as soon as I stop creating, my snowball like melts. Mm. And I got to start again. Yeah. And I think that that's that momentum of like, I wanted to have a break, which is cool. You can do that. But just know that when you do, you got to start the snowball again. And that's like the hardest part.
That's it. Yeah.
I love this because I was actually, this made me remember something that was happening over the last 3 months. I said to Mark for my birthday, I was like, I want to go to the retreat. There's one down the road. It's Gwyn Garner. It's the best in the world. There's like this beautiful retreat. You go there, you meditate, you do yoga and eat like nice things and journal and shit. And
just journal and shit.
Yeah, you know, just like journal and like eat good food and it's all pretty and in rainforest. And I was like, I want to go to the retreat. Like I need to go to the retreat. He's like, what do you want for birthday? I'm like, I'm going to a retreat. I need a week off of like, I just need a retreat. And as I was going to book it, because I was just like, I'm booking it for myself. I'm not waiting for my birthday. And then I went to book it. I was just like, retreat, that word.
The word.
I want to hide. I'm not retreating. And it was really interesting because I think so much of us wants to like hide and retreat. And because it doesn't feel good in the moment. And if anybody was to say like, you love this, you're like, shut up. I'm smacking you right now. But when you're in it, like you just want to hide and retreat and it feels so like, oh, this is the right thing to do. Like you get to rest. And it's just like, but I did a lot and it's not working. Like I'm still wanting to like hide, retreat. And I just really felt this energy when I went to book. I was like, no, we rise. We don't retreat. And we rise with this as gritty as it is. If you're going to retreat, let it be scheduled. Let it not be a reaction. Let it be like you planned that. You didn't go, I'm hurting. I need to hide. Retreat, retreat, retreat. And I'm just like, we
put down the identity.
Put it down. Just leave it. I just feel like I'm frothing on this conversation because it's something that has been in my field a lot lately. And I'd be interested to hear what you guys think. So like I said, with like, don't pretend like you don't love it, like you love it. But I've actually really been thinking that, especially when we're in the sabotage, the universe will speak through the thing that hurts us the most, that gets us the most attention. Like it'll go to your health, it'll go to money, it'll go to body, it'll go to love, it'll go to something that really gets your rod in the guts. But it's this interesting thing where I feel like in the world of feminine energetics and this like misunderstanding of feminine energetics is I think we've leaned a little too much into the like, let's make our life as easy as possible and remove as much challenge and friction and tension as humanly possible.
The ease and flow.
Yes. Yeah. The ease and flow. And what happens is I think the universe is trying to tell us something like that's not the key to life. Like it's to be alive and to feel like you're living and you're breathing and you're in a moving thing. Like when you're in a breakdown, you feel that more than ever. Like you're like, I'm so alive. I don't want to feel so much. But I think this is a theory that I'm playing with is there's challenge and friction and tension in your life that you can actually create on purpose. Like the creative things.
Oh, yeah.
So the writing the book, the doing the doco, creating whatever big project you want to create, those deep, we usually in sabotage, we're like, I don't give a shit. I'm just like, whatever. I don't do that. I'm not doing it. I don't need to, don't want to, not going to. Yeah. But that if we channel that energy and we forced challenge and tension and friction into our lives, it's not going to attack us through body, money, love. So like, I think it's trying to like tell us, and I'm like still on the discovery with this, but I'm feeling like, because especially like with money, say for example, with money, we delete so much friction and so much challenge and so much, we bring so much ease to our lives. Like we have cleaners and we have people doing everything. We have a team doing everything for us. And then we, for the purpose originally, so you could do all these like challenge, tension, things that you didn't have the time or bandwidth or space for before. But I think once you get into it, it's like, oh my God, this is so easy. I can do this in my sleep. This is amazing. But then it's just like, yeah, okay, that's not how it's going to be. We're going to enter something in to get you to move, to get you to like shift and change and bring some challenge in and some tension, because I feel like that's like how we get to feel alive. So my question for everyone and even you guys is, if the challenge is like coming through you in the way that is not desirable, like through body, money, love, whatever way it's trying to speak to you, I think we can remold the way sabotage try to speaks to us and gets us to change the identity. We can go like, let me sit with this thing, this project that I don't want to do, and invite challenge into my life where I want to put it, not it getting done onto me. So
yes, this is brilliant. I love it.
I think it's the creative tension. Like I talk about the tension in creativity, because like in order to create something, it's like there's tension in everything. Like you think about, okay, creating a human, there's tension and a big explosion, right? Mm-hmm. The world was created through tension and a big explosion, mm-hmm. right? I feel like that is how diamonds, it works. Pressure. Like it's the law of creativity is like tension and a big explosion of stuff. And it feels like that when you create something, you're like, oh, I can't. And then you create it and you're like, oh my God, it's the best thing in the world.
And it's blissful, like when you get there.
And I'm so proud of this. But there was tension there before, and it's riding that tension and channeling that tension into I'm creating. And this is where the creativity becomes this like beautiful chaos of like tension and like friction and just like all of the things until it becomes this beautiful thing. And I think the bigger the project, the bigger the thing you're wanting to create, the more of that there is. And I feel like there's so many people wanting to do big things that when they start to feel that creative tension, they go, oh, I'm stressed. I must be burning out.
Yeah.
But it's not, I think that there's looking at stress as, you know, just one thing. Mm. There's different types of stress. Your body needs good types of stress to get stronger, to live better, to be healthier, to be more creative. Like all of these things, we need that good stress to come in. So that channeled like the creative tension. Otherwise, if we don't, I feel like if you don't move with that, that's when it turns into bad stress because you're not doing what you're wanting to do. So it's stressing you out. And then because you're so stressed, you're like, money's not coming in the way that I want it. My body doesn't look the way that I want it. You know, my relationship doesn't look the way that I want it because you're so stressed out that things aren't happening the way that you wanted to, because you thought it was supposed to be ease and flow, because that's what everybody says. And that's what you're like, I want it to be easy and flowy and just like create all the pretty things and then have it feel like it.
And lay in the bar.
And have money fall out of the sky. And fairies kiss my feet and stuff. Like, it's like, no, the creative tension, you need that to create the big things. And so ease and flow to me is like, that's the bit after you've gone through the creative tension. Like, you need that. Once it spurts out the other side. Once it has the big like, oh, it's so good now. Like that's when it feels like ease and flow. And people want to skip to that part. They're like, I don't want to do this. Yeah. It gets me there. That's like 90% of the work.
Yeah.
Or 99% of the work. Because then 1% of the work is just like basking in the ambience and then go, be creating. Like
this is the thing. This is the tension, exactly what you're saying. But you're getting in control. I love what you said. Like totally in control of it, because it's these moments when people back off and go, I'm not made for this. I can't do it like these guys do it because it's just not working for me. But it's not what if you like, this is what I want people to know. It's like, it's not, have you got what it takes? It's, will you do what it takes? And those are the moments that you do what it takes to get you to move, to create the tension, to get you to get that creative, like, release, but also finding out what that explosion is. You make the move to go there. You make the move to make the effort to go there. and get up and go and find it and create that explosion for the next thing. And then get in the bath and go, how good am I?
Yeah. And then get a Levant. This is the conversation the internet needed. I feel like
yeah.
we just leaned into feminine energetics, and for feminine energetics to be feminine energetics, we have to also be balancing them with masculine. That's otherwise right. it's not feminine
it's
energetics.
It's not either or. It's both. We all have yeah. both and we all need yeah. both.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Holy snapping.
Well, can we just like, we're just all drinking just, our amazing. Oh, I want more people to feel that. Like I sat down last night and I just had the most creative day yesterday. I could not shut up and there was not enough social media channels on the internet for me to stream my stuff. I was like, I've posted 3 things in a row on Facebook. I need to like hit a different channel. And I just got to the end of the day and I got my computer out and I just like sat down in my bed. It was dark. I put thunderstorm music on because it's some sort of like relaxing thing while the ocean's right there, but I put thunderstorms in and I just sat there and my whole body just felt like relaxed. And I'm like, people pay for this feeling through yeah. other directions and ways.
Yes.
And I just got it by going to my friggin' edges and just like, oh, I can't create this thing. Like the reason we say so many noises when we're saying this and describing this is because it's that, like, it's a full body, like visceral yeah. thing. So, yeah. Oh my God, right, this thing. And I actually was listening to Stephen Pressfield the other day and he's saying, like, when you, he went on Joe Rogan, by the way.
Oh, so
there's a whole thing. P.S. If you don't know Stephen Pressfield, he's a very well known in creative spaces. He wrote The War of Art, which is essentially the Bible on creativity and doing the work.
Yeah.
And The Muse. And he took The Resistance, which is a Carl Jung thing. And he took it and he turned it into like a creativity thing. So he was talking about like when you go to the computer to work or write, there's this force that's coming. So anybody that knows what we're talking about that didn't just do a marketing post like 5 ways to do this or like here's a story selling this thing, but you went into like leave your soul on the words and in on the page and you went to the computer to write that book. And you, I just, so many times I go to the computer and I cry. I'm like, there's nothing. And I can feel this force like pushing me off.
Yeah.
Totally. And I feel like he really hit it on the head. He said, for every creative desire, if it's for your soul, like he says, like the more important it is for your soul, the more resistant you feel to it. And we know exactly what that means. And that's what we're saying is go to those bits, those challenges, the feel things that don't feel easy, but you see them in your future, like the books or whatever it is for you. Like you see it in your future. It's that big thing that's going to take time over time. Concerted effort to like go to that typewriter. For me, it's that, it's the writing. It's
yeah.
to go there and it's to write and it's to like lay my soul on the page. But I can feel at the start like this this force that is counteracting my creative force. And he's like saying it's kind of like a magnet. You know, like when you can't join magnets together, yeah, like he's like, it's like that. Yeah, it's just like, it's like that force. And it's like the stronger you're meant to do this, the more you'll feel it. And we all get that. And I think that's with your work online, as you enter into being more of yourself online, you'll feel more of it. You go to go live and you're like, this happens. There's no internet. There's this, there's that, the other. There's like that force that you got to keep playing with. And that's not going to be, for me, usually that's like not the sign to stop. But most people read it as like, I'm not meant to be live, or I'm not meant to do that.
Not supposed to do this right now, then obviously I'm going to go off and do something else.
Or instead of, yeah, it's more important. This is really important because there's so much resistance.
Absolutely. I feel that with photography all the time. Like, yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go take some photos, blah, blah, blah. And I even have like,
I heard this story this morning. People on the beach.
There's people on the beach. So, okay, this is the thing, right? I haven't taken a lot of photos. And this happens every time I launch the Selfography 30 creative mission, because it's like taking photos every single day. And like, for me, I created it. And
should
like
be enough, right?
I do. Like when I'm in, I find this, when I'm in my creative flow and things feel easy, like I can go take photos like anybody's business, right? And I'll take multiple per day, right? But then when I feel like at the moment being in this like identity shift and stuff, it's like a hard, like wrong end of the mat. To me, it's going.
I feel like everyone could feel that, yeah, energy. It's like, that's, yeah, what it feels like. I'm not connecting.
So it's not connecting. But then this last night I said, enough is enough, Paula Ivy. you need to get, because I was being lazy. I was just taking all the photos on my phone too. And I know that when I just go, ah, just take it on my phone, it doesn't matter. I'm like, oh, get your camera out. You.
Yeah.
Put down the identity and get your camera out, right? So I packed my bag last night. I got to, or went into bed early because usually my self-sabotage move is like, I want to get up early to take like the photos at the sunrise, but then I stay up late and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. I won't go today. I do that to myself. It's so funny. Oh, anyway, I went down to the beach this morning early, packed my bag. It's a 15-minute walk to your house from where I'm camping. And like, I left an hour and a half before I had to be there because I'm like, I'm taking photos.
Yeah.
And I did. And it felt so hard. And when I got down to the beach, literally millions, not millions, but like it felt like there was millions of people on the beach today. I'm like, yeah. What is going on? This beach is not usually busy.
It's the quietest trip.
And I'm like, is everybody on the GC on this beach this morning? What the hell's happening? There was like people in canoes, like hundreds of people in canoes paddling all the way out to the back. All these people in the sand watching them, people taking photos of the people in the canoes. There was
like a whole school.
There was a school of children. A whole school of children. Like, I mean, like,
oh,
60 children.
I think it was like 100.
Or 100 children. 60. And they're walking them along the length of the beach. And you know, kids be kids.
Spread out.
They started off as this big herd and then they slowly spread out. And so they were taking up the whole entire beach. And I'm like, I need to take photos, guys. What the hell's going on? And this happened the other day. We were in Noosa. We went down to Noosa Beach, main beach, at like 8:45 in the morning. I'm like, it's going to be a good time. It's Monday. People are going to work. People are doing school drop-off. It should be quiet. We went down there and there was literally a million people on the beach. It was full. I'm like, why? I can't even take photos. Why all the people? And I went, okay. So we put our towels on the beach. We went into the water with everybody else. It was literally swimming side by side with people. It was horrible. It was horrible. And anyway, we were in the water for a while. We get out and I look back at the beach. I'm like, where the hell's our towels? Because since we were in the water, a million more people came. And I'm like, I couldn't even see where we put our towels.
That's a busy bit.
And people were like sitting side by side. And I'm like, it's Monday morning, people. Why aren't you at work? Like,
I know, isn't it funny? The world's changed, but you know, it's like, well, adapt, Paula. You know,
I think the message here is around being seen in crowds. Cause I think it's been a big thing of mine for a long time. You know, this I've had past experiences with stalkers and it hasn't felt safe for me to be like seen in huge crowds. Cause I'm like, well, obviously it's great because my business will explode, but I'll attract the wrong people. Like that's part of it. Like you see so many people, they're like, oh, if you haven't had any haters yet, you haven't made it. Like you're not making an impact on the internet. And I'm like, I'm petrified of having people stalk me. I am petrified of people, you know, saying bad things about me and like being publicly humiliated. And thank you so much for graciously showing me the way through that. And it's not so bad and you will survive and not die.
Thank you. Oh my God. I was like going to say, I remembering that, like going, you don't need to make it to make it have hate it. Like you, it could, like, cause I was sort of, you know, borderline making it. And then I was like, see, I don't have haters cause I do it right. Like, you know, you guys just don't know how to do it. And then you just hit an inflection point and it's just like, hello. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So yeah. Maybe like, you're welcome.
Yeah.
No problems.
Yeah. So this is the thing. I went and took photos anyway.
Yeah.
I set my camera up. It looked like I was taking photos of myself. There was a million people there. I was like, all right, this is just how it has to be, Paula. Yeah. And I did it. And you know what?
Did anybody care?
99% of the people that walked past didn't even realize what the hell I was doing. They were so self-conscious.
Yeah.
Also the Gold Coast. I've noticed the involved.
Yes.
It's like there's people meditating. There was people doing an interview the other day with two cameras set up, doing a full interview on the beach, and it was high tide. So we like really were up in their business. And I'm like, I love the GC. People meditating. People were doing chants the other day. There was like five people doing random yoga upside down. Like they do the stuff here. I'm like, I like this.
Yeah. Like it. Nobody cares. Everybody's so self-involved.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. And then the way that I teach photos is like, you need to keep going. Like, don't just take one or two photos and then stop and go, oh, that was awkward. And then you've got awkward photos. Like you got to keep going. Like I take awkward photos at the
beginning. Get loosey goosey.
Yeah, get loosey goosey. So eventually I get to the point where I'm like, I'm doing cartwheels, I'm doing handstands, I'm jumping around, all this sort of stuff. And like, I noticed a shift in the energy of the people around me. And it was awesome because like at first, nobody gave a shit about what I was doing. They were so self-involved. They were so in their own world. And then all of a sudden there's this crazy lady in a bright colored thing, like jumping around on the beach. Yeah. And I got these smiles. Good morning. Hi, morning. Happy day. And like all this sort of stuff. And this one lady's like, you do great cartwheels. And I'm like, thanks. And it opened up conversations and connections with people. And I was like, this is why I do the work that I do. Like these people aren't going to like want to buy my course, but like it was just like us fully expressing ourselves and not being afraid of who we are.
Yeah.
It's like your openness creates openness with others. And I think this is a good full circle thing about being safe in other people's spaces and with other people and being safe to open up. It's like if you see somebody who feels safe within themselves to be open and they're creating, like I was creating safety on that beach for people walking past because they're like, okay, this chick is just like having a good time and she's like playing. And that feels like the safety of play just feels so good. And people are like, oh my God, good morning, hi.
Yes, it's beautiful. Knocked
them out of their little zombie walks of just
But this is beautiful because it does change things and you just don't know. You do not know how you're influencing somebody. You know, I was talking about this with a client the other day. It's just like our transformations that, yes, when we're working with clients and we see and we've got evidence of other people, like the transformations that we give people, and it's like what we do, you know, the whys we do, why we do things. But it's the everyday little things that happen and you're transforming somebody's life just by expressing yourself, whether it is taking photos on the beach and being able to be comfortable to play or putting, you know, words on the internet. Like all of that, we're making a bigger impact than we realize.
Mm.
And it gives other people permission to do the same. It gives other people, this is, we're not just in it for a career. It's how we're changing the world.
Yeah.
That's who we are. I love this. I think also you doing that is like exactly what we were talking about. You're going to the edges of your, what you would usually do. I was talking about that in Launchology today. It was like, go to the edges with your own work and the way you do it instead of staying in your comfort zone. And then you're not going to be able to shut up on the internet about this today, about you. Like you got that moment because you went to the edges of comfort. You went to the edges of what you would usually do. And that's probably a way bigger breakthrough than it's appearing just now. Probably like you doing it with a heap of people on that. Cause I reckon a lot of people probably tell you that all the time. It's like, I can't cause my beach is busy. I've heard people say that to you.
Yes. Before. And I say this, like I say it, like I still feel unconscious taking photos of myself in front of other people. Like it's a weird thing to do because we've demonized selfies. Yeah. We're like, if you love to look at yourself, like you're a narcissist. Like the natural, like you look at kids, they naturally love their own appearance. My kids the other day, we were walking down Hastings Street in Noosa, which is like the fancy shops
and
in
the
Noosa,
only street.
The only street. But like we were walking and every shop we went into, my kids walked around the shop to find the mirror one mirror in the shop that people look at themselves in and would stand there and they'll be like talking to each other in the mirror and playing this game. Yeah. And I was like, every shop we go into, they find the mirror like straight away. But like we're born to really love and adore our own image, but like it's been demonized and we've been, you know, told that we're supposed to look different than what we actually do. Yeah. All of us. Doesn't matter what you look like. You've been told and taught that you should look different than what you do because what you look like right now is not good enough.
Yeah.
It should be different. It's ugly. It's gross. Put it away. Change it. Then come out. But then don't be proud of it when you have the transformation. Don't look what you're supposed to have. Don't be proud of it. Don't rub it in our faces because you're bullying yourself and you're a narcissist then. But that's like it's a funny thing. But that's the thing. It's like, it feels weird to do it, but I feel like every time that I do go to that edge and go, okay, it's busy and I'll just do it anyway and feel weird and awkward, like I find that within myself that if I can sit in that uncomfortability while creating something that I know that I'm here to do anyway, even though it does feel uncomfortable, the conditions are definitely not perfect right now with a bajillion people walking around. like, one, they're getting in my frame. Hello, get out of my frame. But like, it's embarrassing. But yeah. For me to be able to sit in feeling awkward and embarrassed and weird, I got to a point where I just didn't care anymore because I sat in the uncomfortability. I didn't sit on the beach and wait for that to pass and go, okay, I don't care anymore, and then go and do it. I had to actually do the thing until it felt like, okay, I don't really care if people think that I'm a weirdo this morning because I'm having a good time because I actually moved my body and had a good time.
Yeah,
that's how you have a good time.
Exactly. This is the thing, Paula, like you're leading people to do this. You're leading people through this, and you're one of the bravest people I know. Like, you will jump in 11 degree water, like on 11 degree day, like just nuts. Yeah. And like, you know, but you will get, like, you feel the fear, but it's just like, you just lead that way. That's naturally you. Like, I think I said it on your post the other day, Jana, that for your information, Paula doesn't give up. Like, mm-hmm. She just doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why the beautifulness, like, I love that you're going through this right now, especially like in the middle of, you know, 30, is that far out. We're all feeling it. We all feel it. And if our leader's feeling it, if our leader's feeling it and helping us push through, freaking, that's on point. Go. I love it.
Universal. Like, oh my God, I love this. Yeah. Like, that post was just like, it's like, these are the real ones, like the real ones that, like, we free spirits can look pretty like fragile because we wear our hearts on our sleeves, but we like got some grunt, like we've got some like grit to us, and we appear to be like very like floaty. Like I feel like people would have
flaky and just
like, they would probably perceive you, like with me, they perceive me like bubbly, you know, it's not that deep.
Doesn't know much.
Yours would be like floaty, but like we got some grit there, you know, like you got that grit, and it's the ones that like the surprise you. Those are the ones that, but what I was going to say about like what this really makes me think, especially on the beach, it's so interesting how much we let even just the thought of what somebody's thinking. Like, how is that going to hurt you? That person is just thinking a thought about you, and we're like, they're thinking something of me.
Random stranger I'm never going to see ever again.
They might think I'm being weird. And we're just like, I can't do anything. Because they're thinking something, and they're not even coming and say, hey, you doing cartwheels, that's embarrassing.
You should be embarrassed by yourself.
It's just so weird that nobody's going to do that unless they're like next level, like they're the problem with the problem. But like, we change what we do for like a thought that people are thinking about us. And it's just a thought, it's in their head, and it's not even going to touch us. But we like rearrange our entire lives for that.
They're probably thinking about getting milk when they get home. Like,
like, shit, I've got to get the milk.
Oh, I totally forget. I suck at my life. God. I suck. I'm so embarrassed. I'm really embarrassing. This is the thing as well. Like, I feel like it's such a, it's like, it's a universal language. Maybe it's not even from us, because every time we go to do that thing that's creative, we all have the same voice. Why is it the same?
Yes.
Why is it the same? You're not good enough. Why is it the same? Because is it coming from us, or is it some like random situation? Like, because why does it speak exactly the same language to everybody on the planet?
It does.
So is it actually from us, or is it from like this one source outside of us that's speaking the same language to every single person on the internet or on the world that's trying to do something?
Yeah, because I don't even believe that it's full ego trying to keep us safe. I feel like it's a little bit, a tad more than that, because it's actually quite mean.
It's mean. Yeah. It's like, it's like the devil. Yeah. I'm putting these thoughts in my head. It's like the devil. I'm getting closer to source. And then it's just like, no, you're not. But you suck.
But is it like the law of duality? Because
it's like the opposing force.
In order to have one, you need the opposing force in order to experience the other. So do we have that force of like, you're not good enough, in order to experience being enough?
100%. I feel that.
So maybe it's all source. Absolutely. And it's like, you're welcome.
Absolutely.
Wherever there is desire, there is fear. And I've got this new thing that I've been saying to people in Belief FedEx, or like anybody on that'll listen, if they like say something, a belief that they have about something, I'm like, well, you can't have that belief without having the equal opposite belief. It has to have an equal opposite to be a belief in the first place. So you can't have that fear if you've got the desire. Like, you can't have that fear if there is also the desire of the opposite. You can't have that feeling of not enough if you don't have it. It's all accessible. You have both. And it's just where we lean, like, I'm not deserving. Well, you also think you're deserving. Like, you can't have the feeling of not deserving unless you have the feeling of I'm really deserving. You can't have the feeling of I'm not special unless you really know you're special.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Time you say I'm not worthy, you really believe that you are.
So don't try to tell me
put that identity down.
Yes. Put it down.
Stop it.
Don't say
you don't like it.
Oh my god. Okay, you guys.
Wow. Well, we could talk for 10 years and we basically could. I love you guys. Thank you so much.
I love you.
I knew that this would be just special, and it's exactly how I see my podcast being now. It's just like we have rich conversation.
Yeah.
And we just riff and we're like, what do you think about this? Let's figure out the meaning of life like we did today.
Yeah, we did.
We figured out life today.
We so did.
Thanks for coming with us, everyone.
This is awesome.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. I love you guys. That is Paula the Ivy. You can find her on the internet. So you can find Shona on the internet.
Shona and I have a podcast called The Wild Roads, FYI.
That's right.
Season 2 is coming soon.
How about you plug yourself now?
But season 1 is all there. Go download, catch all the replays, all the things. We've got a fresh season starting early 2023. So keep your eyes out for that. But yeah, we have loved being on your podcast, Shona. Yes. It's always a pleasure talking to you. So fun.
Love being
the best chats. I'm also on their podcast. Go check me out.
Oh yeah, she has 2 episodes on our podcast too.
I love it. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.